You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 7th, 2021, we have told you repeatedly this latest infrastructure bill, Biden's $2 trillion plus spending bill for infrastructure, is basically filled with green ideas and green pork. That's not a pleasant idea, is it? Green pork? Ugh. But Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican Kentucky, pointing out, again, less than 6% of this massive proposal goes to roads and bridges. This is not about rebuilding America's backbone. He said it would spend more money just on electric cars than on America roads, bridges, ports, airports, and waterways combined. And then here comes Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat of New York, saying paid leave is infrastructure, child care is infrastructure, caregiving is infrastructure. In other words, they're saying all of these things to help with child care and things of that nature, that's part of our infrastructure bill, too. No, it's not, but that's the way the Dems are reading it right now. Oh, by the way, make note of this. It would really pay to be living in New York if you're an illegal. Governor Cuomo is now saying 200,000 illegals currently in New York will soon receive $2.1 billion in taxpayer-funded stimulus checks and unemployment benefits. That's the budget the governor is accepting for his state. They've lost 1 million jobs in New York. 80,000 businesses may not make it to the end of this pandemic. And here's Cuomo and elected state Dems agreeing on a budget deal giving billions of dollars to illegal aliens, $2.1 billion to nearly 200,000 illegals. I say again that if you are a black citizen in New York and you think your vote counts anymore, they're not paying attention to you. They're after the brown vote. You lost your job and all this. It's tough luck for you. Nearly half of the nation's new COVID-19 cases are concentrated in just 5 states, including New York State, and Michigan, and Florida, and Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Now, Florida, of course, has been open for quite a while and no mask mandate in place. The others have all been locked down, and yet they are still, 2 of them, New York and Michigan, higher case reports than Florida. Pennsylvania and New Jersey not that far behind. Between those 5, they account for 44% of all new infections in the nation from March 29 to April 4. University of Oxford said it is going to stop administering doses of the vaccine it developed with AstraZeneca. There's been a concern about using it in children and teenagers. They originally said it could be used ages 6 to 17. Now they're saying maybe not so fast. I hope those kids will be protected. New York Governor Cuomo also pointing out, when he was asked a question about why your family members got preferential treatment, was it appropriate? The actual question, was it appropriate? And he said, well, I didn't want us to get ahead of the New York State Assembly investigation of the matter, but I'll go ahead and tell you this, but the family members would have to be tested if they're going to meet with me in my office. Oh, to be a member of the Cuomo family, that'd get you a shot early. Would it be worth it? Department of Homeland Security erasing a report we told you about yesterday. A report that detailed illegal aliens on the FBI terrorist watch list and no-fly list were found along the U.S.-Mexico border sneaking into our country. Why would DHS suddenly wipe that out? Because they don't want folks to know illegals, not just illegals are coming across, but possible jihadists. Oh, CNN is admitting a crime wave, which was evident in 2020, is continuing in Democrat-run cities. Even CNN says Democrat-run cities like Chicago, L.A., New York City, and others. Yeah, they absolutely document how much the crime has gone up in each of those. but they don't say exactly why, and we all know because of defunding police and lack of respect for police and just pushing forward. Meanwhile, the city of St. Louis now has its first elected black female mayor. Tiger Woods update. Investigators reporting that Tiger was driving at 84 to 87 miles an hour when he lost control. Maybe 75 miles an hour when he hit the tree. Posted speed limit, 45 miles per hour. Tiger Woods gave permission for that detail to be released, and the investigators say he's gotten no preferential treatment. No, he will not be playing at Masters. Not this year.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There was a time that we basically shut down travel into the United States from China and other places.
Yep.
I think it's now to shut down the immigration system and have a timeout. What they've done by abolishing the Remain in Mexico policy, where you no longer have to wait in Mexico to get an asylum court date, people are released into the interior of the United States. There'll be 2 million people hit our border by the end of the year at this rate. Unaccompanied minors are not repatriated back to their home country. You no longer have to apply for asylum in your home country. You no longer have to wait in Mexico. We don't deport people anymore.
That is, again, an opinion, and I certainly agree with it, and I'm sure you do. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina. And again, he said the estimates are we could have 2 million cross our border before this year is over, illegally crossing our border. And it's become a real big mess for those down at the border. And the Democrats know it, and they want it resolved, but they don't want, they don't want to be pulled into it themselves. They can't really get away from it. It is their own making. They'll try to tell you, and they still continue to peddle the story, that, well, it was bad anyway. No, when Trump was in office, he insisted, one, we have that order, stay in Mexico policy, which means they may all come from Central America or somewhere in Mexico and gather just south of our border, but if they're seeking asylum, they have to stay in Mexico until we adjudicate their case. And many of them are not going to be granted permission to come in on asylum, especially if they left some other nation, country, in the Northern Triangle, and got into Mexico. Once you go into Mexico, they crossed into another country, they can claim asylum there. So it's not a matter of asylum. They want a better life. I understand that. I do not say that for them and their family, if that's not a legitimate concern. But unfortunately, what we have now is this open border policy that Biden basically said, come on. And before he was ever sworn in, they were already starting to gather, knowing that come January, Trump was out, Biden was in, and they were going to get in. And they have. We have, at last report, 18,000 to 20,000 unaccompanied minors being held at different facilities. Border Patrol trying to find more space. Remember, we told you the other day, they're also now looking at doing contracts with the government on some facilities. Military bases have been closed or got some space open, moved them to these military bases. In addition to paying for hotel rooms, doing a multi-million dollar project with a group to find hotel, motel beds for them. And the average cost of each illegal based on the contract be something like $28,000 for a motel room. And, of course, then they just started not giving them papers to even bother telling them to come back for adjudication or hearing. Just let them go, even if they're carrying COVID. We're going to get to that again in a moment. This is a national security issue. You'd have to be absolutely out of your mind stupid to say this is not going to be a problem for the U.S. Now, you got folks like Nancy Pelosi, who lives in her gated facility in San Fran, and Chuckie Schumer in New York in his gated area, and all the rest of the Hollywood elite doing the same. They got drawbridges over their moats. You're not going to get into their property, but however you do, you have something like that around your house. Those who live in the South, particularly along the border states, they've been watching them traipse across their land, coming in droves that cannot be caught in time. And there have been numerous reports again of the drug cartels or the human smugglers just abandoning some, throwing a six-month-old child into the river for what reason I still don't know. And they decide somebody didn't pay for it. I don't know. Thank goodness Department of Public Safety and National Guard troops and Border Patrol were able to get together and save that child. And in Texas, the governor, Governor Abbott, had signed an authorization putting the Department of Public Safety, basically Texas Highway Patrol, to work with the National Guard to supplement the Border Patrol and those who made it into Texas. And just yesterday, there's a young boy found stumbling around in the desert area of Texas somewhere, West Texas somewhere, no food, no water, crying, and somebody happened, one of the Border Patrol folks watching on some of the electronic monitoring noticed him out there by himself, and they sent people, and thank God they did, because they might have perished before they got to him. And he said, they just abandoned me. When I hear the left cry out about how concerned they are for all these children, and yet ignoring what these, quote, children go through just to get to our border, they're being brought by an adult who might have either rented them or paid a family for them, and going to pose as a relative for that child and come with them so then they get in as well. Or sometimes they just give them a phone number in their pocket and they're sent across, and when we pick them up, we see the phone number, we call that number, and we're told, yes, it's a grandson of mine or something like that, and we make arrangements for them to go. Well, you would think that they check out who's living there, wouldn't you? To make sure that we're not sending this child to a child sex ring or something. You'd think we would, right? But we are so overstaffed right now, I will guarantee you that's not happening. How many children do you think we in this nation, this is a frightening, horrible idea, how many children do you think we have basically turned over to child molesters? And young women that come across. And then, of course, it's not just illegals coming across. It's terrorists. Told you about this story yesterday, that they caught a couple of terrorists that were on a no-fly list out of Yemen. These guys could never get on a plane and come to the U.S. because they're on the no-fly list. They're both from Yemen. They're suspected terrorists. And somehow or another, they got into into Central America or Mexico and then blended in with one of these caravans, and we just happened to grab them. U.S. Customs and Border Protection reporting Monday, Border Patrol agents apprehended two illegals from Yemen on the FBI terrorism watch list, the no-fly list. We found them coming across posing as Central America or Mexican illegals. Those are the two we caught. You have to ask yourself, how many have gotten through that we didn't? There have already been reports numerous times about children all swarm one area at one time, Border Patrol rushing in to try to take care of them, help them, and so forth. Because we're not going to leave a child to suffer and die out there. I don't care by what means they got there or what happened. We're just not going to do that. But while we're preoccupied there, jihadists mixing in with others cross the border, get deeper into our country. And then I see this coming from the Department of Homeland Security, and I'm absolutely infuriated, and I would demand some answers. I think you will too. Here's what I'm discussing. I just told you about the two caught on the FBI terrorist list and no-fly list. They were caught crossing into our nation from Mexico. You know what's happened since that time? There was a press release, or rather that was originally available, suddenly had a plaster on it, access denied, to any reporters trying to look up the information. Access denied. And a note stating you're not authorized to access this page. It was a press release and suddenly no access. Suddenly, the Department of Homeland Security issued a report that just wanted to shut it all down. Just shut it down. They ordered the Customs Border Patrol to remove that from the website that they caught these two terrorists. Take it off the website. This is not the first time. In January 29, 8 days after Joe Biden was sworn in, a 33-year-old illegal from Yemen also arrested, apprehended at the Southern California border by Border Patrol agents. He also was on the FBI terrorist watch list and no-fly list. Question again is how many you think came across? We didn't stop. When are we going to know? When the explosions start. And then, of course, we have this issue about these coming across. It is a super spreader of COVID. You have been under restrictions. You've been told how you had to live your life because of COVID. And Senator Lindsey Graham was pointing out the other day that Dr. Fauci should go down to the border and take a look at this because you're missing a big health issue going on right here. And, of course, Dr. Fauci had his response.
I have nothing to do with the border. I mean, obviously, it is a very difficult situation at the border. We all know that. The administration is trying as best as they can to alleviate that situation. I mean, having me down at the border, that's really not what I do.
My point is, if you're in charge of advising the President of the United States about how to stop the spread of COVID and contain this virus, you have to go to the border because we had 170,000 people enter our country legally in March that we caught, about a 10% positive rate, and what I saw was just a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. And Fauci saying, well, that's not my job, the border. That's not what I do. Has he not been, by his whispering in the ear of Joe Biden, he's the chief medical expert that Biden's relying on, has it not been his word and his policy and his directive as to why we've had businesses shuttered for as long as we have and those that are beginning to open only certain capacity? Now, the Trump administration attitude was that we're going to let the states and the local governments make their own decision. We're still kind of in that, and yet we're not. And anytime there's some kind of big gathering, here comes Fauci. He was complaining the other day about, I look at all the people going to that Texas Ranger baseball game. That's yeah, they're not going to be good. So I guess he's been to a baseball game, so we can speak about that. But he said, I've never been at the border. I don't know anything about it, so I shouldn't be there. But did he not also give us instructions on spring break and college kids? Half or greatly naked along the beaches in Florida, that could be a COVID spreader. Yeah, has Fauci done that? Maybe he did. Maybe if somebody got any pictures, I'd like to see them. But he's willing to tell you and everyone else what you should be doing. But when it comes to the illegals that are coming across with not only the permission, but the encouragement of the left and the Biden administration, not my job, man. I know it's a big problem down there. Not my job. This is, again, the same guy that I pointed out to yesterday that in March in 2020 said masks won't do you any good. That's what he said, 60 Minutes interview last March. You missed that program. It's up on our podcast right now. You always go to it, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com. By the way, subscribe because then it'll be dumped in your email every day. You won't miss a single program. Coming up, I want to focus again on Governor Hutchinson in Arkansas vetoing a bill that some are saying, why would you do that? This would protect kids from being forced into transgender surgery and drugs. And he vetoed it. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Baby, I got your number. All I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times. You can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If this had been a bill that simply prohibited chemical castration, I would have signed the bill. But Tucker, as you know, this bill was overbroad, it was extreme, it went far beyond what you just said. And I made it clear that if this was about prohibiting procedures, sex reassignment surgery, absolutely, I would have signed that bill. But this, again, is the first law in the nation that invokes the state between medical decisions, parents who consent to that, and the decision of the patient. And so this goes way too far.
That is, again, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, as he appeared last night on Tucker Carlson, defending his decision to veto a bill sent to him by the Arkansas legislature that had been overwhelmingly passed. The bill is intended to remove efforts to get children to basically be involved and subjected to things like transgender drugs and or surgery. Now, the bill, as it's called in Arkansas, is meant to basically protect children. Under the bill, physicians are banned from giving any gender-conforming hormone treatment, puberty blockers, or surgery to those under 18. And it also restricts doctors from giving recommendations to other providers for these treatments. You might have thought Governor Hutchinson would have signed it, but he did not. He's a Republican. And in the face of other Republicans, he said, no, this is too overreaching. And in fact, then he tried to make a correlation between William Buckley, conservative, and Ronald Reagan, bolstering his position on this. Just listen.
I go back to William Buckley. I go back to Ronald Reagan, the principles of our party, which believes in a limited role of government. Are we as a party abandoning a limited role of government and saying we're going to invoke the government decision making over and above physicians, over and above health care, over and above parents?
The question again being the government getting involved when we as conservatives, we don't want the government involved in our lives. That has always been, of course, the argument of the pro-abortion group. Women saying it's my body, my decision, the government stay out of my womb. Tucker Carlson, when the governor said last night, if it had been a bill that simply prohibited chemical castration, I would have signed it. Well, Tucker did jump in and say, well, let me correct you for a second. This is chemical castration. If you stop puberty and suppress sex hormones, you're chemically castrating someone. Part of the issue and the argument made by the governor is that there's nothing in the bill to deal with those who are already undergoing, who are already in the process and have already been given some of these drugs. And they're kind of in a limbo now as to which way do they go from this point. And maybe some have already started some surgery. And it would come to a halt entirely in the state of Arkansas. I'm going to tell you that's a legitimate concern. If it's a child that's already in the caught in this thing, whether or not it should have ever happened, whether the parents got misled or they simply bought the child story, that's what I want to be, and they found a doctor that would comply and agree with it. You don't want to punish a child at that point. What's the answer? Do you go ahead and go through with it? Or do you say, no, nothing more, not in this state anyway? If such a child is already so concerned, mentally unstable, let's say, basically, not sure about who they are, what they are. Do you think that's going to help improve the situation? Of course, I'd also ask, do you think really puberty change is going to help the situation? Because we know in many cases it doesn't. I've got a guest coming up you want to listen to. Expert on this. She's been fighting to keep children safe from being pushed into transgender drugs and surgery. You want to hear her story. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Before we continue, I need to let you know word is coming out of the White House. The president is planning to announce a new executive order involving gun control. Some details are coming out. That story just breaking. I'll have more on that before we wrap up today. But back to our discussion about transgender surgery and drugs and the Arkansas state bill in particular, as vetoed by Governor Hutchinson, and yet it's going to go through because the legislature overwhelmingly passed it. Joining us now is an expert on religious freedom for the last 14 years, dealing with the DeVos Center for Religion, Civil Society, the Heritage Foundation, and also a member of the Supreme Court Bar Association to California in D.C., Emily Kao. Emily, glad to have you on board.
Thank you.
So let's pick up, first of all, the bill as it was passed by the state legislature in Arkansas. They were stating in primarily the idea is to ban physicians from giving gender-confirming hormone treatment, puberty blockers, surgery to those younger than 18, and would restrict doctors from giving recommendations to other providers for these same treatments. Overall, how does that bill sound to you in protecting children as opposed to endangering them?
Well, no child should be told that they're trapped in the wrong body. Children are born in the right bodies. Gender dysphoria is a real illness that some children suffer from, and it should be treated with compassion and the best care. The best care should be based on the science, and the science tells us that children who go through puberty, actually, the majority of them, 88% of girls and 98% of boys, become comfortable with their bodies. And there's no science that shows that hormones help children have better mental health outcomes.
Well, in fact, I was reading earlier a study for the American Psychiatric Study, and I assume that's what you're also referring to, that during early puberty and so forth, children are, they might be not sure what they're going to do, who I am, what I'm going to be, but generally as they get older, they're fine. They have no conflicts inside themselves. So, but if they were decided to go down the road of puberty-blocking drugs or even surgery itself, they're kind of beginning to lock into one position.
That's right. The harms of taking these drugs at a young age are irreversible. And children, you know, are going on these drugs at age 9. And a 9-year-old is not able to comprehend things like the permanent loss of fertility and being unable to have their own children, the loss of bone density, potential for heart problems. And as I said, there is no evidence that puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones actually alleviate the distress that people with gender dysphoria suffer. In fact, the best studies show that it actually increases suicidal ideation. And so we need to press pause before allowing children to do things to their bodies that are irreversible and to take things that could make their mental health worse.
Well, let me present the opposing side. The ACLU promised a lawsuit to prevent the law in Arkansas being enforced, and saying that legislators, quote, disregarded widespread, overwhelmingly, and bipartisan opposition to this bill and continued their discriminatory crusade against trans youth. And then adding, this is a sad day for Arkansas. The fight is not over. Attempting to block trans youth from the care they need simply because of who they are is not only wrong, it's also illegal, and we'll take it to court. Well, as I pointed out a moment ago, you're a member of the Supreme Court Bar and Bar Association of California, D.C., do they have standing?
Well, I think that's a very misleading statement to say that trans youth are being denied medical care, because trans youth can get any kind of medical care that anybody else can get. So a transgender identifying youth who, you know, has a sprained ankle or, you know,
but that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about
right.
The help we want to continue our transgender journey.
So I think that the government does have a compelling interest in protecting children's health and safety. That's a well-established line of legal argument, and that is why we have bans on genital mutilation, why we have age limits for children getting piercings or tattoos or drinking alcohol or having sex or driving a car. There are things that we consider to be dangerous for children, and the government has stepped in the past to limit the ability of children to do things to themselves that could, you know, hurt themselves and have long-lasting irreversible effects. And this is similar to those cases. The ACLU is a progressive political organization.
Sure.
And they have a political orthodoxy that they are trying to enforce on the whole nation, they've also sued doctors who wouldn't perform hysterectomies and double mastectomies on totally healthy women with gender dysphoria.
Let me dig in on that, drill down on that one point. How big is the issue, the number percentage of actual transgender, that whatever identification numbers have been given? I've seen you're looking at 0.6%, maybe 1.2 max for the entire population of the nation.
It's very tiny. It's definitely far under 1%.
Okay.
That actually have gender dysphoria. So it's a very tiny population. Nevertheless, that population should be treated with care and respect. And that's why any treatment should be based on what the best science and evidence show us. And again, there's no long-term study of the efficacy of puberty blockers, and the best long-term studies show that surgical interventions are actually damaging to mental health.
Well, Governor Hutchinson pointed out, he said, if this were strictly castration, I would have signed off on it. He said, but it's not. And his biggest point he's raising, and I don't think it can be easily dismissed, that what about those who are already in his state that are undergoing hormone replacement therapy, puberty blockers or whatever, and maybe have already taken some surgical steps along because their parents and or a physician, they had agreed with it, that in that state it has to stop right then. And what does it do to the patient? And I'm talking about a child, but it is a patient at that point too. What does it do to them? Not only their physical outcome, but as you said earlier, the mental concern.
Well, the basis for passing the bill is to protect children from the known harms of hormonal and surgical interventions. And that is something that is in line with all the science and all the best medical evidence that we know of. And I think that the example of, you know, children who have grown up to regret taking hormones and having surgeries when they were under 18, you know, those cases should be a warning to every American that there are serious dangers with allowing children who are really too young to understand the consequences of these hormones and surgeries.
I agree with you.
There are serious dangers.
Yeah, I agree with you. But again, we are talking about malleable minds and some just kind of pushing, and they see the what's trending around them, things of that nature, that they're kind of caught up in a flood of this kind of stuff, and they just kind of think, well, something's got to change in my life to make it better, and they go that direction. And then convincing a parent to go along with it, maybe sometimes not both parents, one of them, and then they find a doctor that says it's going to be better for the child. Where are we going to end up with this?
Well, I think we're going to end up with a lot of young people who regret what they did and regret what was done to them. That's why you have, you know, cases like in the United Kingdom of young adults who are now suing the gender clinics that prescribed them hormones and asking the doctors, why did you let me do this to myself?
Right.
I was far too young to understand. And that's why the United Kingdom has now prohibited children under the age of 16 from going on to these types of hormones. And that's why, you know, that's why we really need to press pause and allow children to develop their mental capacity, their emotional capacity, till they become adults. And then at that point, you know, if they want to do something irreversible to their bodies, although it's still unwise, that's a different question, you know, because an adult has the mental capacity to understand.
All right, let me touch on one other thing in our last minute here. The governor had cited that he's taken a stand. He thinks it would be echoed by William Buckley and Ronald Reagan, that this is overreach, too much government involvement, getting between a patient and a doctor, which is what we've heard all the way from the pro-abortionist, it's my body, stay out of it, very quickly, do you think he's got any basis to say that this is government overreach and Republicans don't want to get government involvement?
Well, I think he should take a look at the fact that the majority of American people today oppose children going on to puberty blockers and cross-sex hormone surgical interventions. That's what our polling shows.
All right. I appreciate it. Emily Cale, thank you very much for giving us some additional insight on a subject that's not going to go away overnight. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
You bet. Emily Cale, Heritage Foundation. As I told you, there's breaking news out of the White House involving executive order action on your guns. Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
All right, as I was telling you, the word is coming out of the White House that tomorrow President Biden will hold a full news conference to announce new executive action on gun control. I told you from the very beginning that once he gets a chance, he will also use the executive order to deal with gun control in a way that will please the leftists. Jen Psaki indicating this today in her press briefing would not go into details of what it's going to be involved, but said the president will have more to say tomorrow. Politico had been reporting an executive order is coming. I think we all knew that they might be doing something, but timing and exactly what's in it. And this follows, of course, the recent mass shootings in Boulder, Colorado, Atlanta, Georgia, Orange, California. And current gun laws, I'm trying to quickly replay in those cases in my mind. Current gun laws, I think, would have been adequate, should have been, if they were properly followed. I can't go through all the, I can't recall everything at this moment, but generally that's what happens in these shootings. That if the law that is already written and on the books was properly administered and followed, that person would not have been able to get a weapon. There are sources that are saying Biden is going to begin the process of requiring those who buy, quote, ghost guns, firearms that lack serial numbers since they're sold in pieces then put together at home, to undergo background checks. It's not clear what other action might be coming. Now, last week, 100 House Democrats wrote Biden, urging him to take action on concealed assault-style rifles. Generally, they're talking about even semi-automatic handguns. That's what they're referring to. And this assault weapons has always had a very vague connotation. Yes, we did have, quote, a law against, quote, assault weapons for about 10 years, and the sunset law put an end to it, sunset provision, I should say. And it was under in effect while Biden was in the Senate. That's what he's been saying. We had it then. I can do it again. He said, I got that done as a senator. It brought down mass shootings. We can do it again. I don't know that it actually brought down mass shootings. I've seen some stats that would argue that, but I don't have time to get in all the great detail with it. But now he's saying, or he did at least last month when he was referring to that, he said we can ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country once again. Then you have to decide, well, first of all, in addition to what is an assault weapon, many times it's not much more than, and certainly not as powerful as a deer hunting rifle. It's just styled to look nasty. You know, it's got a looking like a military-grade stock and things of that nature on it, but it's not military-grade. You don't want to take one of those into war, I will guarantee you. Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, now reacting to this news coming out, he said, I think President Biden will try to get away with as much as he can with the executive orders. I would agree. He said, we are very prepared to go to court if Biden oversteps. And he did say, again, we're talking about Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. He said, we're expecting him to do anything with foreign commerce if the firearm is being imported in or magazine or ammo being imported in. He could, by executive order, try to do something of that nature. But, of course, the question is, can, by executive order, he would try to impose on your Second Amendment rights? They will always ask the question, do you need, quote, an assault rifle to defend your home? And first of all, I remind you, the Bill of Rights is your rights, not your needs. Do you need a really nice, fast car? No, but if you want it and you can get it, you probably will. Do I need to have a Harley motorcycle? Yeah, I do. I'm going to say, yeah, I do. No, I don't really need it, but I want it, and I got it. And keep in mind, Biden has yet to nominate a director for ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which would really be overseeing gun laws going forward. And the Biden administration also pushing for legislative action, dealing with a couple bills going before the Senate that have made their way through the House. They would expand federal gun background checks on all firearm sales, extend the background check review from 3 days to a minimum of 10 days. That's to close what they call the Charleston loophole. That's when a gun sale went through, because if it's not completed in 3 days, it's automatically, you can buy the gun. In other words, if you go to buy a gun the way it is now, there's a 3-day waiting period. If nothing comes back from the feds to put a cancellation on it, you're free to buy the gun. But they didn't have time or enough manpower to investigate properly, and you end up getting the gun and you shouldn't have. So they're calling it a loophole. I don't have a problem on one hand. Listen carefully. I don't have a problem of moving it from 3 days to 10 days, but then the next thing will be, well, let's go 20 days. Let's go 30 days. Let's go 20 months. Simply interfering with your Second Amendment rights. And that is where we're going to put a stop to some of this nonsense. We're not going to allow that to go through. Be ready for that fight. We will, again, tomorrow, focus on that, I will guarantee you. As always, I appreciate you joining us and listening. Go to Larry Connors USA YouTube channel, Larry Connors USA YouTube channel, and subscribe. You get some select segments of this program on YouTube. And, of course, the podcast direct to your email through LarryConnorsUSA.com. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.